thought we would use a little caution here in that way. So they're going to come up in a few minutes to serve communion. And, you know, you're all welcome. If you love Jesus and you want to participate, it's a wonderful opportunity to come and just worship God in this way. So I just want to mention to you that, you know, God is faithful. His love is amazing. I love the writings of Paul, which actually describe Jesus to, you know, to a T. And oftentimes when Paul is talking about Jesus, he's reflecting on his that whole passage. You know, that whole song, you know, is just so amazing. And I love, you know, because this passage particularly I'm going to read to you is so appropriate. In Colossians 1, I'm going to read to you a passage. And this is speaking about Jesus. How amazing Jesus is and how great and awesome. So let's just think about Colossians 1, verse 15. I'm going to begin. And if you want to scroll, you can. Feel free to. But it's Colossians 1, verse 15. He's talking about Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's not afraid to talk about Jesus as he is. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now it's interesting. The word firstborn is not necessarily that he was, you know, he didn't exist. It's just that it's a leadership role. He's there over all creation. So by him all things were created. Amen. For by Jesus all things were created. Things in heaven and on the earth. Visible, invisible. I want you to think of it. Everything reflects Jesus. That song we sang, you know, you look at the beauty of nature, it ought to speak to you about Jesus. A creator. The creator. It's all created. Now, you can debate on that issue if you like, but I just love to, I can't imagine not having a designer behind the beauty. Personally, I find it very hard to believe in any theory that doesn't have a designer. Whoa, come on. Think about it for a minute. How amazing you are. How amazing creation is. God put it all together. Jesus is the one who makes all things. Invisible, visible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. I want to stop for a minute. So all creation is made by him and for him. If this is a reality, now you have to either believe it or not. I choose to believe it, okay? I choose to believe this to be. If that's the case, then all the beauty of creation ought to give glory to God. If anything is attacking creation that's bringing destruction, is not from God. Let's make it clear. Man and human beings and other, you know, other beings, spirit beings, may bring affliction and curse and destruction, plagues and famine and even, you know, viruses that we're dealing with. This is not from God. But the Bible says the thief comes to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to do what? To give life. And life to the fullest. So this was the original intent. It's still the intent of God. So when we come today to break bread, when we come today to do communion, you know, it's a covenant. What I want to do is I want to reinforce the covenant that God has made through Jesus. And it's his work. It's Jesus and his work that's going to destroy, you know, and we have authority to declare his work. Jesus finished work on the cross to destroy the plan of the enemy. So let's just read on. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body. He's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. How many want to see Jesus have supremacy in your life and over this world. Come on. Over the curse and over, that's what I'm going to declare today. Amen? That's what we're going to decree here today. We're going to decree and declare that Jesus has supremacy. Hey, if this is what his word says, that's what I'm going to say. I don't know what you want to say. You can say what you like, but I'm going to say that. Amen. I'm just going to make a declaration. Jesus is Lord over all. Other places in the Bible, it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord means supreme. He is supreme over all. Come on. How many want to declare his supremacy over your life and protection? How many want to declare supremacy over your family, wherever they might be? How many want to declare supremacy of Jesus over this island, over this country, and over the nations of the world? Come on. I'm here to do that today. And I just say, as we break bread together, as we take the cup of the covenant of his promise, that we're going to say, Jesus is supreme over all. And I'm going to partake of that cup, and I am confessing that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord over my household. Jesus is Lord over my affairs. All the things that matter to me. All the concerns that are in your life. How many got concerns about your life and things that are going on right now? Come on. Some way or another, and Jesus has to show up. You know what? I got to let him be Lord. I got to choose that in my life. And I'm going to choose that today. Whatever you think of American politics, it doesn't matter to me right this minute. But one thing I'm going to say, whatever you think of President Trump, it doesn't matter to me really right this minute. Well, one thing he did do is declare today to be the National Day of Prayer. Come on, I don't know if you're going to agree with that or not. I just choose to believe that this is a good day to pray. Come on. This is a good day to pray. It's a good day to declare over Prince Edward Island. Amen. It's a good day to declare over Canada, over the world, that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I want to give Jesus back that place in my heart. See, he's already that. Anyways, he's that if I want to acknowledge it, but I'm going to acknowledge it myself. It's up to you if you want to acknowledge. There's no force enforcing anybody, but I'm just saying, if you want to join with me in acknowledging Jesus Lord over your over concerns that you have today. That's what I'm going to confess. Amen. So Lord, we declare and we decree that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. We confess to you, God, that this island belongs to you. Amen. This nation belongs to you. The nations of the world belong to you. And you created, when God created things, he said it was created good. And yes, destruction and the curse and sin and all the effects of the evil has still infiltrated, but Jesus is still Lord. Amen. Amen. And he's going to triumph. He is supreme. I declare. And once again, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. Come on. We're here to break bread today. We're here to take the cup today. We're here to celebrate what the work of Jesus has done. This is not just a mere symbol to us, God. This is a revelation, once again, that Jesus' death on the cross has defeated the devil. Amen. Amen. Come on. Defeated the curse. Defeated any infirmity, any sickness that we might, that's around this world. We put ourselves under the covenant promise of God. We are the blood-bought children of Jesus. Amen. I have received Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I am his, and I confess that today. As I break bread, as I take the cup, I confess that Jesus is Lord over my family. Amen. Jesus is Lord over my heart. Jesus is Lord over anything that concerns me today. I submit to you, God. Let's make that confession. If you want to make that confession, when you take part in this communion, you're going to say, Jesus, you're the Lord over my life. Confess it again. You're going to say, Jesus, you're the Lord over my family. Somehow agree with Jesus that he's supreme. And see where the devil goes. Okay? We're chasing the devil out of this place. We're chasing the devil out of our the fears that the enemy's causing out of our hearts. Amen. And any infirmity and sickness, we're just saying we are covered in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for faith to believe you and trust you. And those that may be undergoing affliction, you know, we're not burying our head in the sand. There are those who are afflicted. There are those who have been overcome by sickness. It's not just this virus, by the way. Hey, there are other sicknesses out there besides the virus. Come on, isn't that true? So we're just praying in the name of Jesus for every curse, every affliction, every harm, every evil that's come against us will bow its knee to Jesus. Amen. As an evangelist, teacher, who many of you may know or may not know, Ravi Zacharias. How many of you know who I'm talking about? This guy, you know, he's an apologetic, which means, you know, God's given him a brilliant mind to defend Jesus and to share Jesus. You know, he goes to college campuses, debates, if you ever listen to, but this guy, you know, he's older than I am. I'm not sure what his age is. Anybody know? Sorry? Is he? Yeah, so certainly, but he just, it's been posted that he's got cancer. And he, you know, he even put a sign, he put a little thing out to the Christian community. So I don't know what you think, but I believe that we need to join in with that. Amen. Some of you may be already praying for Ravi Zacharias. All right. Come on. Shabbat. Hey, Lord, we're going to agree together for this man that the devil's plans are not going to prosper. Come on. The plan and the purpose of God will be fulfilled in this, in his life and through the ministry you've given to him. So we just break every cancer cell off of his body. We agree together, Jesus, that by your stripes he is healed. I thank you, he's a man of faith. He entrusts himself to God. But he's also believing for the great physician, Jesus, to bring touch of his body. So we're releasing the healing of Jesus over his body and agreeing together as a family, church family today here. By his stripes, he is healed. In Jesus' name we declare it. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, guys, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about what we've shared already. And I've been thinking about, you know, all week. And we've all been kind of living through a kind of a stress-filled week, you know, and there's been so much talk about and, you know, everywhere you go, there's talk about this coronavirus, you know, COVID-19. And the reality is it's here. It's here. It's in PEI. Okay. All right. You know, I was hoping it wouldn't, but it's here. All right. You know, it's amazing and it's unbelievable how this has impacted the world. And not just impacted the world out there. It seemed like a couple of weeks ago when you were watching news or listening to something, it seemed like it was out there. Then all of a sudden, this week, it jumped and it's here. Not just the fact that there's been somebody discovered with this and the reality of it is there's going to be others. It's just that reality. Now, what's really, I guess, crazy or wild and in many ways hard to even imagine is that this has affected and will continue to affect plans, vacation plans. Well, for Shelley now, we canceled our vacation. Smart. We're not going to be allowed to probably go anyway, so. Or come back. If we come back, we're quarantined for 2 weeks. I mean, that's the rule, or that's the suggestion, but may become a rule, right? Isn't that true? So it's disrupting plans. It's disrupting schools, universities, right? It's going to have its consequences are real, and there is a reality of visits. Shelly and I were just talking about, well, not only our vacation plan, but if somebody wants to come home or visit their families, you know, to attend funerals or weddings, you know, like just, you know, when you start to add it all up, it is quite involved. That's a reality. I'm just telling you how it is, right? So but what does it do for us? How we as a people of faith and as a community who walk in a relationship with Jesus, as followers of Jesus, followers of Christ, how are we to live in the midst of this reality that's out there? Now, the reason I'm sharing this message is not just because we're in the midst of this crisis, but the reality is crisis is everywhere, but it usually doesn't hit us until it's home. Come on, isn't that true? I remember some people going through a death of a loved one. And it wasn't until it happened to them personally that it hit home. The power of it, the impact of it. True? So, you know, the reality is, I think Roy kind of, you know, made this reference that God's original plan wasn't death and destruction. God's original plan wasn't sin and sickness and affliction. God's original plan was good. He created everything good. Something came in to bring destruction, to bring chaos out of order, bring evil into the world where there was good and good to be perpetuated. Something happened, messed it up. And it still continues. Many years later, it's still continuing. So we can expect these things. And, okay, this is one. What could be next? What could be next? I'm not just talking viruses. What could be the next thing? And so how are we to respond to this? That's the question. And I found that the Lord was showing me, and this is the message I want to share with you today. I really believe, because there's so many responses, right? And many of the responses are, as you read the news and read the events, it's out of fear, right? Out of panic. Out of the media frenzy. So, maybe you haven't quite got there yet, but you know, or maybe you're, you know, but I mean, you know, everybody knows the toilet paper stories. Who hasn't heard about toilet paper here? If you have not heard about toilet paper. So Shelley tells me today that I don't guess it's on Facebook or where, on the media somewhere. This one couple bought it was thousands of dollars worth of toilet paper. How many heard that story? I think it was 70,000. Okay. It was crazy. They got a storage bin, and filled up with toilet paper. And they were bragging on Facebook that they had made $30,000 already by reselling the toilet paper. So it's not, but that's totally wrong. Now we're going to talk about that in a minute. I want to bring that story into reference, how we to react. That's just an example of panic, but it's also not just for them panic, but you know, taking advantage, right? All right, so first of all, for God's people, we're told very clearly that our lives are to be not to be filled with fear. You know, I love this passage in Philippians 4. You know the verses 6 and 7, Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses human understanding will guard your heart and mind, verse, in Christ Jesus. Okay, first thing is that God wants us to walk not in fear, but in peace. Okay, Jesus made this statement. He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, you're going to have conflict. In the world we live in, this is one trouble. But this one trouble it shows up a reaction. It shows up a reaction in all of us. And my encouragement to you today as people of faith is that we walk in peace. So Jesus says in that same passage, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know that scripture? And in the same context, he says, my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Where does the peace come from? Where's the last part of that verse? Where's the peace found? In Christ Jesus. Okay, how are you going to walk in peace? In Jesus. You got to have that connection. So it's like this. I can entertain my mind with media, with news, with social media, with even entertain my mind with those around me telling me this, telling me that, or I can have my mind at peace in Jesus. It's that place. Oh, it's like this. Okay. It's the word of the Lord. It's the words of Jesus. He said, my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. His peace comes out of that place of knowing. He says, hey, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, let's say in the midst of all of this, and you know, it may affect a few people, a few percentage of people, and you know, our prayer is that we're going to get this thing gone in Jesus' name. But there are other things that come into your life that could disrupt peace. How many are going through other situations that have taken peace out of your life right now? Come on. So, and it could be a physical health issue, could be a financial issue, it could be any kind of other disruption. The enemy's plan is to disrupt your life. However he wants, you know, does it. He wants to just take you out of this, you know, out of that place of peace. The stories, there's just many great stories in the Bible. Somebody shared the other day, and just a few days ago again, I was thinking, wow, this is great. And it's that story in the Gospels where Jesus is in the boat, but he's sleeping. And they're going across the sea, and the sea gets turbulent, right? Remember that story? It's all of a sudden, it's a storm. And, it's like their environment changes from calm to storm. Okay, so whatever's going on in your life, that if this isn't the issue, something else might be the issue that's causing a storm. Well, what is it? Where's my perspective? All of a sudden, my eyes are fixed on the storm and not in Jesus, who is with me, who made the promise to me, hey, let's come in the boat, let's go to the other side. Jesus says, we're going to go to the other side. Let me tell you something. Jesus says to you, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says to you, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus says to you, the work I started in you, I'm going to bring it to completion. Come on. Jesus says to you, my life is in your hand from the beginning to the end. Amen. Come on. Okay, who am I going to? So all of a sudden I'm looking at the storm. And I mean, we're human, guys. Come on, we're no different than anybody. I get a little report. I get a little, whether it's, I had medical tests done, and all of a sudden you get a report, and all of a sudden it seems like there's some negative factors in that report. Hey, I'm human. And my mind can go there. And all of a sudden I need to capture it again. Get into that place of intimacy with Jesus. And ask the Lord, what do you think about this? So the disciples got all worked up. You know the story in the Bible? They're looking at the storm and they're looking for Jesus. in the storm, in a boat, they're looking for Jesus. They're panicking, and Jesus is in the hull of the boat having a sleep. Okay, what's with this picture here? I'm going crazy because the storm is raging. And Jesus is in the boat doing what? Because he has already made the promise. And all I got to do is get back to the promise. The promise of his peace. The promise of his presence. So my prayer is that in the midst of any storm, whether it's this crisis, that you find your peace in the promise that Jesus has made to you. There's a verse in the Bible, Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says in the King James, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." You know, the old English. God will keep and bring into perfect peace whose mind is focused on him. Isaiah 41:10. What is it, Roy? Give us that scripture.
It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee, yea, uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness."
Amen. Amen. So God is calling us to trust in him. The reality is that God, Jesus was there. They actually woke him up and said, "Lord, do you not care that we perish?" Okay, there is a time when the Lord stirs us up to look at, you know, our eyes are on the situation, on the storm, where we need to get back on track. It's like, hey, we're human, we're natural, and it's a tendency we have to look there, but the Lord says, there's a drawing back. There's a coming back. So if your mind wanders, just remember, he's there. He hasn't moved. His promises haven't changed. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he's gracious. I'm so glad he didn't say to me, "Oh, look, you were panicking. You were worried. So guess what? I'm not going to bother with you." I'm so glad he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened down." Hey, John 11:28, "Come to me." I love that verse, John 11:28. If you could pop that up for a minute. It "come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." Is it there? John 11:28? I guess anyways, it's okay. He said, "Come to me and I will give you" what? "I will give you" John, no, just one second here. Where is that found, guys? I thought it was John 11:28. So somebody's looking up. Matthew, thank you. Matthew 11:28. Thank you. Somebody searched it out for me. Good reference. Good verse, wrong reference. Thank you for you search seekers. So Matthew 11:28. So we can redo that one since everybody's now anticipating the verse to pop up. let's make sure it pops up. Here it is. Okay, so what is it? Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened down, and I will give you rest." So would you say rest and peace sound the same? Yeah. Yeah, they're the same. He's saying, "I'm going to give you peace of mind. I'm going to, you know, just chill, relax. Look to me. I'm okay. I'm resting here." Yeah, amen. And I love the next part. Let's read the next verse. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, for you will find rest for your souls." How many need that place? Rest for your soul today. Where's there an anxiety? Where's there a fear? Where's there a worry? Hey, and Jesus wants to come right in. Amen. You know, so I love this expression. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." It's like what he's saying, you know the story there. You know, in those countries, they had a yoke between the cattle, right? And a couple of and the yoke, they would be together because they didn't want one cow to take one more weight than the other. What Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. It's like, let's get yoked together. Now, let me tell you, if I'm yoked together with Jesus, who's going to carry the burden? Who's going to carry more of the weight? Well, what he's saying is, listen, get tied in with me because I am God, after all. I am Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I choose to just yoke myself with him. Now, I want to be honest with you. I'm just as guilty as you are when I get a bad report, a negative report, to jump. I can jump. I can jump like the rest on the negative side. Oh, Pastor, really? Yeah, because I'm human too. But it doesn't take long for me to say, what in the world am I doing here? Come on. Hey, I don't, no, that's right. We don't stay there, amen. It's like all of a sudden this thing is thinking, oh, because the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy, and he's still doing it. But I don't need to live in that reality. I can just say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. This is what the message is today, guys, because in the midst of this, and in the next several weeks, we're going to have to deal with this, and we're going to have to probably deal with it ongoingly. This is just one crisis, but I'm saying crisis will come to you in many ways at different times. Trials are like that. But Jesus wants to bring you peace. Amen. So that's number one. So how, and we enter into this peace really by not fearing, but by faith. So I was going to talk about that, but the essence of this is really I choose to believe. I choose to believe. So instead of, but what is it I'm believing in? I'm believing in the presence of Jesus in my life. I'm choosing to believe in the presence of God to undertake and go in front of me and break through for me. Amen. And he's going to. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that was the first part of this message. Okay, second part of this message is this, for you to take home with you. Walk in peace. Walk by faith. Second thing is, this is an opportunity. I believe, like these are opportune times. Hear this, guys. If the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy, okay, as a church, we are called as God's people. When I say the church, I'm not talking physical building. I'm talking about a people of God. That's what we're talking about. As a people of God, we are called to be light in darkness. This is so heavy on my heart, guys. I'm telling you right now. Okay, there's one thing about me walking in peace. First of all, let me tell you, when you start walking in peace, you will start reflecting light right away. Do you hear that? Because there's a lot of fear, a lot of panic, and you're walking in peace. People are going to ask the question, what's wrong with you? Why are you not panicking? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you loaded up with toilet paper? What's wrong? Now, let me tell you something, guys. Am I saying don't be responsible? Don't okay, take responsibility. You know, listen to the advice of our people, authorities, and things that we need to do. We're not talking about not doing that, but we're talking about peace that reflects. It's a light. It reflects. Ha. There's a place where you're going to be going. Maybe this week you're going to end up going to work. Some of you, if your workplaces aren't closed, you'll be going to work. But they're going to be neighbors. They're going to be people on Facebook. There are going to be people that you're going to encounter that are going to be panicking. Opportunities are going to arise as a result of this. And what's the opportunity for? For you to crush Satan under your feet. Come on. The opportunity is there for you to crush the lie of the hell, that's being propagated. There's an opportunity for you to dispel fear and bring hope. Come on. There's going to be opportunity for you this week because people are going to call. They're going to ask you, maybe your family member. They're going to say, you know, you don't need to go, you know, saying a whole lot more in terms of trying. Listen, let me tell you something. In this time, let's be careful not to be judgmental. Guys, let's be careful to respect. Did you hear what I said? It's so easy for me to tell people, hey, listen, you shouldn't think that way. Hey, how about this? How about we respect how they think, but just tell them how I feel? Are you with me? Did you hear what I said? Respect where they're at and just say, but you know, I just want to tell you what God's been showing me, how I can walk in this. And give them encouragement. Maybe you can do the same. But rather than saying, oh, you shouldn't be afraid. Come on, you should be, you know. But there's a way here, guys. There's a way to respond that's love. So let's operate in love. That's how Jesus did it. Remember, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he's also love. So when we share this peace with people, let's remember this is a place of love through which we're going to operate. Amen, in Jesus' name. And let's talk about this. So we're to walk in peace. How about, I'm going to go further, that part of it. We're going to walk in love. So we're going to walk in peace. We're going to walk in. Okay. And you know, love does the opposite of this couple in British Columbia. The couple in British Columbia, they're storing up, Shelly just shared it with me, it was real, and I couldn't believe thousands of dollars worth of toilet paper so they could take advantage. Now let me ask you this. What would a child of God who carries the love of Jesus be doing? I don't want you to... Okay, how about this? Asking my neighbors. Hey, guys, I got extra food here. If you're concerned about not having enough groceries, listen, there are some people on Prince Edward Island that cannot stock their cupboards. They're living paycheck. And maybe there's students here that can't be stocking their cupboards. If university and college closes, and I'm not saying crisis has gone bad enough. Could it get worse? Yes. I'm just saying this. What are you called to do? All of a sudden got quiet because I want you to think about it. We're called to love. We're called to be the light of God in a dark world. And part of that could be that I open up my house, that I open up my cupboards, that I open up my wallet, my pocketbook. Because time of crisis, let me tell you something. You know, all the times, this one thing that's said about followers of Jesus all over the world, Christianity, if it's lived rightly according to Jesus and what he teaches, is the most generous, compassionate. And I'll use this term even though I don't like using it. I'll use the term religion. No, I don't like using it, right? You understand what I mean? I'm talking about those who I'm not saying others aren't. Okay, please don't. But where it steps in to the gutter, to the lowest, to the poorest, because it doesn't matter. There's no caste, there's no race, there's no creed. It's like, I don't care. I'm just going to give of myself to serve you. All I got to do is read about Mother Teresa, but I'm saying there's a lot more besides her that are giving their life to sacrifice. All I'm saying is we're to operate out of love. You know, some of you know one of our leaders in our country back in history. I'm from India originally, some of you know. I'm a coconut, right? You all know that? If you don't, you know the story about the coconut? Somebody said to me, you got to hear this because there's a few brown people here. But I'm a brown person. I've lived there for 50 years. I'm brown on the outside, white on the inside. I'm like a coconut. I got it now? So when people say, now, I just want you to get that, okay. The point I'm making is back in the day, in our country, there was a leader when independence first took place, and his name was Mahatma Gandhi. How many of you heard tell of him? Anybody know history? Okay, well, it's interesting, but you know, he was influenced. Now, he didn't embrace it completely, you know, but the fact is he was influenced greatly by the teaching of Jesus. If you read history, to the point where he would have probably followed Jesus, except what he read about Jesus and what he saw about Jesus seemed like two different things. What he read about Jesus and his early followers were they were people of compassion, mercy, kindness, and it was all kinds of sacrificial giving. Because Jesus himself said, as I am in the world, so you are to be. Did he not to his disciples? But he adopted some of the values because he talked about living sacrificially. Point I'm making is there, people do get it. But we gotta not only talk the talk, we gotta walk it. So there's gonna be opportunities. So here's my thoughts, guys. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, read Matthew, I think this is the right reference. It is Matthew 5 and verse 13. We'll start with, we'll go into 14 and 15. But if you're Matthew 5 in chapter 5 verse 13, it talks about you're the salt of the earth. Let's read it together. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled out underfoot. Just stop for a minute. Okay, let's just say, for salt is a flavor, right? Salt adds flavor to food, isn't that true? It gives it permeates. Now, if the presence of Jesus in my life is to be like salt, life of Jesus should be expressed in my life, my conduct. It should be a salt. But if I lose the saltiness, what impact am I having? That's the point, right? Let's just keep it simple. Next verse. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So, keep going. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone. He says, you are the light of the world. Because Jesus was the light that came into the world. And then he said to his followers, now you are the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He had the light of life to give it away. And how's light manifested? Look at the next verse. In the same way, let your light so shine. So what? So they will see your good deeds. Come on. And glorify your Father in heaven. A little kind act, a little gesture of compassion and mercy and goodness of God goes a long ways. Because that's who Jesus is. So I want to encourage you. These are times when God has given us the greatest opportunity of all. I'm convinced that what the enemy is doing for evil, what the enemy is doing to try to, just to kind of cause all this panic and fear and, you know, just all that's going on, that God is giving an opportunity. And Ephesians 5 says, redeem the time for the days are evil. For Ephesians 5, it says, take advantage of every opportunity. In that same passage, we read it last night, he talks about your light. Let the fruit of light come forth, goodness, kindness, righteousness. Let the fruit of light come forth. Come on. I'm praying today that God, this will be an opportunity for us as God's people. Let's walk in grace. Amen. Let's walk in peace. Let's walk in love. So I just release over you as we close out this morning, this thought, and I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray for grace. I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit because he's the one who brings the greater revelation of peace, greater revelation of the presence of God, a greater revelation of the peace and the love of God. Amen. Father God, I pray right now for each one gathered here. I pray, Lord, that in the midst of all this, our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Amen. I thank you, God, in the midst of all this, the presence and the power of Jesus will be manifested. Hey, do you know what it says in Romans? Listen to this. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. How many know that verse? Come on. Come on. I pray for the God of peace over your life. Amen. I pray for God of peace to rise up over your life. I pray for the God of peace to rise up in every action, every word that you speak, that the devil will get crushed under your feet. The devil will get crushed under your feet because you're walking by peace. Amen. You're walking by faith. Amen. You're walking in love. Amen. In Jesus' name. That's the word of the Lord. I declare over you that the word of the Lord is yes and amen. I declare over you that you will go forth in peace. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I give you the word of the Lord in closing, and I speak over you the blessing that comes from God. May the Lord bless you as a people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance over you. The Lord be gracious to you, and may he grant you peace. In Jesus' name, may you walk in peace. Ha! In Jesus' name.